From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the Local Edition, and I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. We are just days away from the biggest holiday of the year when it comes to home and hearth, food and family. So tonight it's appropriate we're taking a look at how people are staying warm, how people are keeping fed, and how families can stay safe in the holidays. Coming up, Sullivan County Fire Coordinator John Hauschel shares essential tips on how to stay fire safe this Thanksgiving. Meanwhile, the Federation for the Homeless is stepping up for Thanksgiving to address the rising need after the federal shutdown. We talked to Kathy Kreider in the second half of the program. And heating assistance has been on hold since the federal government reopened. We thought that funding would hit by today, and it so far still has not. So where do things stand now? We talked to Colin Kinneborough of New York Focus in just a minute. Before any of that, though, we start with New York State news, including new polling numbers. We'll have those polling numbers in just a moment. But where was Governor Kathy Hochul today? Governor was downstate, touting several of her administration's affordability initiatives while visiting the site of a future birthing center. The new maternal health center in the Bronx is the result of a $5 million state investment. Hochul, who is a mother and a grandmother, says parenting is a great gift, but it can also be very stressful and very expensive. She says a new birth allowance for beginning year benefit has been launched to help qualifying families upon the birth of a new baby.
A check for $1,800 to cover that cost of the stroller and the car seat and all the other things that are so expensive. So that's more money back for parents, of course, as well.
In addition to that, Hochul says starting in January, more than 1.5 million families in New York can apply for a child tax credit of up to $1,000 per child under the age of 4.
Parents with children under the age of 4 will get $1,000 starting this year, starting in January. They can start applying for that tax credit. So let's get the word out about that.
Also in New York State news, we have new polling for next year's gubernatorial race. And there's good news and bad news for both major party candidates for governor in this latest Siena poll. That's the word from pollster Steve Greenberg, who says Kathy Hochul has a 20-point lead over Elise Stefanik in this month's survey of registered voters.
Back in September, the last time we asked, it was 52-27%. So Stefanik up from 27-32, made it a 20-point race, not a 25-point race.
Greenberg tells Public Radio's Capital Connection that support among Republicans for Stefanik has risen significantly.
We see now that there's such displeasure with so many politicians among the electorate that it's not surprising to see somebody negative on the reelect question then go on to win.
Meanwhile, this poll shows more voters have an unfavorable rather than a favorable view of both gubernatorial candidates. As for what pollsters call the reelect question, Greenberg says that this poll shows 42% of registered voters are prepared to reelect Kathy Hochul as governor, while 48% would prefer someone else. And thank you to the New York Public News Network for those reports. Now for the latest on HEAP. The home heating assistance funds are still on hold, even though the federal government has reopened. Officials had been saying that federal HEAP funding would not reach New Yorkers until at least November 24th. That's today. And so far, the funding still isn't there. Patricio Rubio spoke with Colin Kinneborough, New York Focus, earlier today.
So before we get into this whole thing here, can you walk us through, just remind folks what HEAP is all about and why this year's delays are hitting so hard?
HEAP, known nationally as LIHEAP, the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, is a program that essentially helps people cover their heating bills during the winter months. So that can be your gas bill if you heat your home with gas. It can help pay for propane or heating oil deliveries, potentially pay your electric bill if that's how you heat your home. So this is kind of a Bedrock federal aid program. It's been around since, I believe, the 1980s, the Ronald Reagan years. And New York actually gets the largest share of this federal funding. It's been in the range of about $400 million a year for the last few years that goes straight into helping people pay off their bills. There are other parts of the program, for example, that help people buy air conditioners during the summer, but really the core of the money goes towards helping people pay off heating bills.
Right. Now, you know, this was really being affected when, you know, we didn't know when the shutdown was going to end. And, you know, obviously the shutdown has ended. So does that mean the money will start flowing soon?
At this point, it looks like it is going to start coming soon. But I think a lot of people are angry, worried, struggling because it hasn't come yet. Normally, you know, HEAP funding is released to states around the end of October, and states, at least New York State, opens its program right at the beginning of November. I think at that point, generally, a lot of people are already pre-enrolled in the program. So they're essentially starting to get automatic payments that hit their accounts starting very early in November. Here we are now, several weeks into the month, where we're approaching Thanksgiving. We've obviously gone through some freezing temperatures already in the state. I think a lot of the state is at sub-freezing temperatures today as we speak, and this money still hasn't come through. It's now been, 10 days or so since the government reopened. So a lot of people are getting very antsy, and there have been people pushing for New York to try and step in to take some kind of temporary action to tide things over. It looks like that hasn't really come to fruition per se. But at this point, it does look like the federal money is on its way soon. I just got word that from HHS, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which manages this program, that they should be sending out money in principle by the end of this week. So hopefully it could start. People could start seeing it, or at least being able to apply again here in New York next week.
Right. Well, which is, I'm sure, is very good news for those who are hurting. You know, we talked about the rising prices of NYSEG in the past, and especially for those who heat their house using electricity. Have utilities responded to this situation, especially when it comes to like shutoffs or overdue bills?
Somewhat. I think it's helpful to have just a little bit of context here about the kind of level of debt and pressure that people are feeling from rising energy bills in the first place. You know, starting during the pandemic, we started to see more and more people falling behind on their utility bills. That hit a peak, I think, around 2022. But then since then, the state put in quite a bit of money to help people pay off their bills. But since then, as energy costs have gone up, those debt levels have gone right back up. And so you have millions of people who are, you know, 60 days or more behind on their bills and who are facing a mountain of debt. Along with that, shutoffs for non-payment of electric and gas bills have gone up really sharply. I mean, we're talking about 300,000 or so far this year. That's about twice what it was last year and the year before. And its levels not seen since the Great Recession, roughly, of 2008, 2009. So it's a pretty dramatic situation. Now, the state did take some action alongside the utilities to try to help ensure that at least people would stay on another low-income assistance program that helps people pay their bills. There's a program called the Energy Affordability Program, which is managed by each of the utilities. And actually, most of the people who come into that program are coming in because they were referred through HEAP, this winter heating program. If you get a HEAP benefit during the winter, you're kind of, I believe you're automatically enrolled for this ongoing monthly bill discount program, but that expires after a year. So because HEAP, you know, hadn't come through again at the start of this year, there were a bunch of people, I mean, on the order of close to 100,000 people who are about to be unenrolled from this other monthly discount program. The state and the utility stepped in and said, okay, let's make sure none of those people are unenrolled at least. So they kept their monthly bill discounts. But that's the extent of what we've seen. You know, there were people calling for a moratorium on shutoffs heading into this winter, particularly with HEAP money being delayed. That hasn't happened. There were calls for the state to basically advance some money to get the program started ASAP while waiting for the federal money to come in. That hasn't happened either. So right now, people are still in limbo 3 weeks after the program was supposed to open.
Yeah, and like I said, putting things in limbo, it just feels like those folks will have sort of a domino effect of, you know, of them not having enough money to pay for their heating and have to sort of fall back into other bills and you know, also having the whole deal with food insecurity. Just wondering, you know, how that all plays into folks struggling in this economy.
Yeah, actually, a domino effect is a good way of describing something I've heard from some of the advocates who work on this program. You know, what the HEAP program mainly does is help people pay off their regular bills before they get to a crisis situation, right? So when I mentioned that utility debt, those arrears that many people are facing, HEAP helps give you, you know, it basically gives people a lump sum to help pay off that kind of thing. So up to $900 per household, depending how you heat your home. And that can help people avoid falling into the kind of crisis situation where they might face a shutoff, or they might have to forego groceries or fall behind on their rent or other crucial expenses. So even just a few weeks delay, when people are, many people, about 1.5 million people, 1.5 million households used this program last year. So we're talking many, many people are really counting on this money to come through starting at this time of the year. You know, most of the money is sent out in November and December. So people are really counting on it. And even just a few weeks delay, I think is making a big difference for a lot of people. I've heard from readers since our story came out saying that they were really in dire straits.
Yeah, wow. Now, it's like, thankfully, you said that the HEAP money will be rolling out soon. I'm just, before we end here, Colin, I'm just thinking about, you know, all with the government shutdown, I feel it uncovered things we always knew, how fragile these things are, these kind of programs. What long-term vulnerabilities does this sort of expose in how HEAP is structured and or funded? Do you see maybe changes in the future at the state level?
Yeah, you do have some of the advocates who have worked on this program who are starting to get nervous. Last year, I covered a situation as well with HEAP where it got frozen suddenly in the middle of January, when normally the program runs well into the early spring. You know, it usually closes around the beginning of April. Last year, kind of out of nowhere, with a few days notice, the program was closed for a few days, and no one really knew for a second, was it going to reopen? What was going to happen? And it did come back, but you know, that made people nervous. And then of course there was a situation this year with the government shutdown where everything was in limbo and no one knew for how long. So you do have people now who are, and who have been for the last couple of years, calling for the state to try to figure out a way to figure out, to contribute its own share of funding, because the federal funding does look more and more uncertain as time goes on.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we was talking to Colin from New York Focus about the HEAP benefits. Thankfully, he's reporting that looks like HEAP will be back on starting next week. Colin, thank you so much for your reporting. And as always, if any updates, we'll definitely love to talk to you again. So talking to Colin from New York Focus.
Thank you so much for having me.
In Liberty, I'm Patricio Robayo for Radio Catskill.
Thank you, Patricio. We have more to come, including a check-in with Sullivan County's fire coordinator and the Federation for the Homeless. Stay with us.
You are listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
The increase in diagnoses and the really increased awareness, all of this ends up leading to a lot of unintended consequences for the autism community itself. It raised these tensions over which of those needs get prioritized in a world where there's a really limited pile of resources to help.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's today on The Daily from The New York Times.
And of course, the Daily is coming up in just about 15 minutes. This is the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. The holiday season's underway, but families are still feeling the effects of the recent federal shutdown. Everything from cuts to SNAP to uncertainty about HEAP. And for a lot of people, it's been a tough stretch. But in Monticello, the Sullivan County Federation for the Homeless is once again stepping up. They'll be giving out turkeys tomorrow and hosting a full Thanksgiving dinner for anyone who doesn't have the means to make one at home or anyone who simply needs a place to belong for the holiday. Executive Director Kathy Creeder says their doors are open to make sure no one is left out this Thanksgiving.
It is a very busy season for us, and especially this season with the recent SNAP crisis and all, it has brought quite a few more people to our door, and some of them for the first time, never been here, but are happy that they found us. And we already gave out what we call our fixings pantry, which is everything except the turkey. We did that last Thursday. I forgot the number, but it was over 100 families we had coming through the line. It was beautiful. It was really a nice day. And then tomorrow we're giving out turkeys, so we start at 11:30 until we run out. I've never run out, so generally 11:30 to 1. And then Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, we serve a meal here from 12:30 to 1:30. We have a bunch of folks who have offered to volunteer. Anybody, the more the merrier. You don't have to sign up. You could just come in and say, hey, I was in the neighborhood, and I wanted to come by and give a hand. We'll be here at 9 in the morning setting up and doing different things. And then lunch is 12:30 to 1:30. We're going to have some free raffles, and it's going to be a really nice day. And then, of course, cleanup, which we can always use help with. So we're usually out of here about 3 o'clock on mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. Then we're closed on Friday and back in action on Monday.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, which is great, that things are back to semi-normal for the Federation of Homeless. I just want to talk about that, the government shutdown and what effect that had on you, either financially or having more folks come and use the services that you offer.
Sure. So, the shutdown it affected so many of the people we serve, and it affected ourselves as an agency and the colleagues. Things were kind of held up in certain regard, and there's still a couple things that are up in the air as far as grants and things that we do rely on that have not been settled yet as they have opened back up. So there's that. The food bank, the regional food bank of Northeastern New York, is a tremendous supporter, and you're probably aware they just gave out a bunch of holiday meals last Saturday. I know I was parking cars on that day. And then we had local Rotary did a big food drive for us as well on Saturday. So as far as food, we do have that. It's always a challenge to get what I call undesignated dollars, people who donate to us because they know that we need to be able to operate. We could have all the food in the world, but if I can't run my refrigerators and my freezers because I didn't pay the electric bill, that would be a bad thing. That's a little extreme maybe, but I think it just kind of drives the point home that, you know, we do thrive and depend on donations from the community. But so far, so good. That's about how we're doing right now.
Yeah. And one thing you said that I'm hearing a lot from folks who we talk to in pantries or anyone who deals with food insecurity is that a lot of folks are using their services sometimes for the first time, just because of what has been going on.
Yes, yes. And I think that, not that we don't have any folks who might receive some food stamps, but do know of our services and have relied on them. There's a lot of folks out there who try to stay as independent as they can and have been able to do that until the shutdown. And it just really drives home the point, I think, that it's a needed service. We had folks, working families, but they're just making ends meet. They're working, you know, they're doing the best they can, but you know, sometimes there's a gap. You have a senior citizen, they're on fixed incomes, and you don't want them to have to choose between paying their oil bill and figuring out where their next meal is going to come from. And again, that might sound extreme, but really it's a reality for folks that we serve here, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And he said that the food bank giveaway was over this past weekend, and I saw photos online about the bunch of people who came to pick up food. And also, which I always loved seeing around this time of year, is just folks helping out other folks in the community, either volunteering there or whoever comes to the Federation for Homeless on Thursday to volunteer.
Absolutely. And we do have folks from all different walks of life. We have folks that have come for years that I've been here. I've been here, this is my 15th year here. And we have some folks that were here coming before I came. And then we have brand new folks every year. We also have people that we may have served at one time or another who now are in a better position and would like, they can take a breath. So while they're taking that breath, they'd like to come back and, you know, and help us out. And they do. A lot of the people we serve are in crisis. And it's really hard to give of yourself one more inch when you're in that type of crisis. Down the road, when things get better, and sometimes it does, we do have people who come in and give us a donation or give us of their time and say, hey, I was there once and I'd like to give back.
Kathy, before we go, is there anything else we have not touched on or you want folks to know about the Sullivan County Federation for the Homeless?
Sure. You know, we are here. We're the county's only full-time, what you call a community soup kitchen. We're trying to get away from the soup kitchen, but everybody's familiar with that moniker. So we're open Monday through Friday, unless it's a holiday. And we're also the largest food pantry in the county. Our food pantries are on Thursdays. And right now we're waiving. We have a registration process, but we're taking application, like people's names for an application at this time, but we're waiving, you know, that you have to be registered because the SNAP crisis actually put us so far behind in appointments that we can't keep up. So there's that. And also, I would like everybody to know that our next holiday meal would be on Christmas Eve, so December 24th, also from 12:30 to 1:30. Santa's generally here to, you know, visit with the kids and, you know, make sure they all get a gift from him. And we have raffles and a really beautiful meal. And then we are closed from Christmas Day until the 5th of January, and we'll be back.
Kathy, thank you so much for that information. I'm talking to Kathy, from the director from the Sullivan County Federation for the Homeless in Monticello, talking about the plans for Thanksgiving and future holiday meals. Again, Kathy, thank you so much for this, and thank you for all the work that you do.
Thanks, Patricia. Thanks for the opportunity to share our services with your listeners. Thanks so much.
And thanks to Patricio, and thanks, as always, to Kathy Kreider for all she does in the community. Well, before we go tonight, let's check in with Sullivan County and stay on the theme of being prepared for the holidays, because from cooking to candles, Thanksgiving is one of the biggest days of the year for house fires and holiday emergencies. Patricio Rubio spoke with John Hauschild, Sullivan County's Deputy Commissioner of Public Safety and Fire Coordinator.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. So there's a bunch of things that people just need to be cautious about. One, of course, everybody loves turkey, and a lot of people deep fry their turkeys. Deep frying turkeys is very, very good, but it could also be very dangerous, because what happens is they put the turkey into the hot grease and it overflows the pot because they put too much grease in it, and it bursts into flames. And then if they're doing it inside a garage or on a deck, it catches the garage on fire, the deck on fire, and then the house on fire. And then, unfortunately, it ruins their Thanksgiving. So you got to be very, very cautious. Recommend that you do it. If you're doing it, you do it outside in the driveway, away from any structures. And then be very, very careful putting it in, because you could get burned yourself, and we definitely don't want that.
Yeah, yeah. And I was curious, so for the fire in EMS, what are some of the most type of calls that you get on Thanksgiving evening or day?
Well, obviously it's a high traffic volume day. A lot of family members are on the road traveling, and they just got to be cautious of each other and obey the speed limit. And of course, everybody likes to have a good time, and you know, you just you don't want to be under the influence, because again, you know, it could ruin everybody's Thanksgiving. All it takes is a split second for something to happen. So traffic is huge. Just take your time, plan a little extra time. You know you're going to hit traffic. Just take some time and get there.
Yeah, that's one thing that's always on my mind. Anytime I go visit family for Thanksgiving, is a trip home. And like I said, you mentioned, like, some folks could be under the influence. They have around family. You're drinking wine, beer, whatever. And it could be a dangerous trip home, especially if the weather turns bad in that situation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and this time of year, you could have snow, ice, rain. So you just have to be very, very careful. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time, but be responsible.
Right. What should families know about if they're using candles or some kind of holiday decorations safely?
Oh, okay. So Candles is great decoration. It's something that a lot of people use. You have to use extreme caution with candles. Make sure that there's no combustibles, meaning curtains, drapes, furniture, anything that could ignite. And then make sure the candles are out at night when you go to sleep, because that's, you know, the candles burn down. And so it's very, very dangerous.
Yeah. Do you guys, as fires or EMS, I know you're just fire, but I don't know if everyone, you know, works together about food poisoning? Because I see sometimes that's a topic that sometimes come up. People may undercook their turkey or not handling properly. Is that a concern sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the processing the food and cooking the food, you know, it says right on the package of the turkey, mm-hmm. you have a fresh turkey or whatever. It's it tells you to cook the internal temperature to a certain degree. And if it's not, and the other thing is overeating. You don't want to overeat. Of course, I always say the plates are too small on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Now, if something does go wrong, what should people do first before trying to handling it themselves? Let's say for, frying a turkey and things go haywire, or like you said, something goes wrong in the kitchen or something like that. What should you do first before trying to handling it and trying to put something out themselves?
Always call 911. Always call 911. Make sure everybody is safe before even trying to extinguish a fire or, you know, try to control something yourself. There's a lot of techniques for cooking fires, you know, and Thanksgiving, you know, turkeys are greasy and, you know, you can have grease fires and stuff, but you should call 911. The firefighters do not mind coming to something where it might be, you think is small, but it could turn into something big. But the fire department's there for helping the community.
Yeah. Is it normally a busy night for you guys on Thanksgiving evening? I know everyone here is a majority of volunteer firefighters. Everyone has their own families to be with. But is it a busy time for you guys?
It's probably an average time. It does get a little bit hectic with, you know, traffic accidents and stuff like that. We do have some fires, of course, and unfortunately, that happens. You know, another thing that, you know, we get a lot of people here and the temperature gets cold and they fire up stoves and stuff. And that's probably one of our bigger calls is chimney fires and stuff like that, because during the holiday season, everybody likes to have the fires, you know, and it just the comfort of the fire and stuff. So just have to use caution.
I guess it's always good time for cleaning out your chimney if you haven't done so already. So,
oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then, I know it's getting away from the holiday season, but space heaters too. A lot this time of year, like today, was in the 40s, and it might drop down into the 20s or teens, and people don't want to run their main heat, so they put space heaters in. And again, needs very, very good area to put them in. And again, not near curtains, furniture. You know, they should be 3-4 feet away from anything that's combustible.
John, you said a lot, and there's a lot of great tips to keep in mind when trying to stay safe this holiday season. So, John, if you don't have anything else, I want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much, and I wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving, a safe one, and enjoy it.
In Liberty, I'm Patricio Arroballo for Radio Catskill.
Well, big thanks, Patricio, for all the work that you do. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to the show. Hey, this was just Monday. We still have the rest of the week ahead of us. Local Edition comes to you at 6:30. At 6 every weekday evening, goes till 6:30. And Tim Bruno will be here with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. for Radio Chatskill. And our music auction is live online right now. Check it out at wjffradio.org. We got more news on the way from The Daily. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.